Amos chapter 6, verse 1.
Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came.
Now here is saying, woe to those people who are living easy in Zion. Zion is also called Jerusalem. And there is a Samaria. In Samaria, Israeli people were ruling. And in Jerusalem, the Judah people were reigning. So we now there are two kingdoms. Now two kingdoms are in there, Jerusalem and Samaria. But now these people are so proud. Israeli people were well known in the world at that particular time. People were afraid of Israeli people because of King Solomon, King David, and even the other kings came after them. And so people were afraid. And these people, God gave them victory, and they possessed almost all the land in the time of Solomon was conquered. These people conquered those lands, and now they are proud. They are thinking Jerusalem means just like when you say Washington is the capital of America. And so they said, you are so proud, and you are so living easy life, and you are thinking nothing is going to go wrong. We are like a conqueror, and we are not afraid what's going to happen. So you are living in very easy, comfortable life. And that's the kind of life you are living. And you know your nation is Israel or Judah, or Judah or Israel. These nations are well known, and Jerusalem is well known. All the Israeli people are coming from Jerusalem or Samaria, and they are proud of their heritage. Let's read the words too.
Pass ye unto Calneh and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border?
Now God is asking a question. Whatever the land you got it, go and take a round again. Each and every place is given to you. Go back. And the names are given all these areas. Go back and keep on looking at those areas and take a round and take a circle and think what God has done. This all the land is God has given to you. All the borders of these people God has given to you. So do you think you are greater than them because of God gave it to you? Why are you thinking that you are so great that you possess this land? God says, in my eyes, if anybody committing sin and you thinking that you are a God's people, I do not consider you as a special. You are all the same. I defeated those people. I allow you to defeat those people. I will allow somebody to defeat you. That's the point he's bringing. He's saying you are not greater than any other nations. In my eyes, right now what you're doing, you are all equal to all other sinners. And that's the kind of thing you are doing. And you are thinking in your mind, now we are top of the world. Nobody can defeat us. And you are living in a luxury. And God says, I hate what you're doing and what kind of life you're living. Verse 3.
Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall.
Verse 3 says, you do not know that your end is coming, your destruction is coming. But what you're thinking, you don't want to think about it. Just like today. We know the world is going to end. We know the destruction is coming. We know the people of God are preaching everywhere and say, Jesus Christ is coming, be ready. And we are warning people that one day you are going to end up in hell. This kind of message everywhere is preached. Jesus Christ says the end will not come until the word of God is preached all the four corners of the world. And so we do not know when Jesus Christ is coming. But we are not sleeping. We are preaching the word of God. But there are some people like these Israeli people or Jewish people thinking, who cares? Let's live in luxury. God is not going to do any harm to us. We are godly people. And some people are mocking today the Christ's coming. Go to the second Peter chapter 3 and start reading from verse 4.
And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
See what people are saying? People are talking about Jesus coming. There are almost 2,000 years past. He's not coming. So these people are lying and trying to get scare tactic, and it's not going to work. And that's the way the people are thinking. Verse 5.
For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished.
Now he's giving an example. If you're thinking this world is not going to end, think about what happened to the time of Noah. The whole world was destroyed. If the God can destroy the whole world in the water, same God is here. In the time of Noah, people didn't believe Noah. When he's saying rain coming, people start thinking, we never heard the rain, because those days there was no rain. And so they thought, what the Noah is preaching about? Maybe this man is senile. He is 600 years old. He doesn't know what he's talking about. There is no rain. He was preaching 120 years and nobody listened. And when the rain start coming, they might be running to the Noah. And the word of God says, Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. When God shut the door, Noah could not open it. He could say, hey, my relatives are dying, or some of my workers are dying, or my friends are dying, let me open. But he could not open. Because when the rain start coming, it was not the showers, so you can just open. It was a flood from the top and from the bottom. So there is no way Noah can open the door. If you would have opened the door, the Noah's ark might be sinking because the water flood will come in. So Noah could not open the door. So here the word of God is saying, listen what the time of Noah. Those people were same mocking and making fun of Noah. But the time came and the world was destroyed. So there is an example in front of us. Let's read the verse 7.
But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
Now he's saying, last time the flood came. People like swimming. People like water. I say, hey, how much water is going to come? I'm going to swim my way. And how much is going to come? I'm climbing the mountain. The water is coming out the top of the mountain because some houses are built a little bit higher. So people say, oh, that water is not going to come that far. But the point I'm making here, people were thinking how far the water is going to come. But the word of God says the highest mountain was 15 feet under the water. So point I'm making, there was not a strong man or a healthy man or the mountain climber or Everest mountain climber. Nobody can save their life. So that's the condition was. And still people think the water is not that dangerous because it doesn't hurt you. Once you drown, then you go down. But in your body, you don't feel any pain. But here he's saying, think, if the God could destroy the whole world with the water, the same God, same word he can use, and now it can be with the fire. So now you have to be a little bit careful. The water comes to your body, you don't feel bad, but when the fire comes to your body, you will be crying a lot. And so this is the word God is saying, I have kept this world for the last, burning with the fire. The word of God says, the last day, the world is going to be destroyed by fire. But today is not my subject. When I was preaching in the book of Revelation, I gave you all the example how the world is going to be end. But here it says, God has preserved this world, kept this world up to now. But the one day will come and the whole world will be destroyed by fire. Okay, verse 8.
But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Now, he is saying, don't get confused. According to your calendar, according to your timing, God doesn't have a calendar. God doesn't have a time. He is not getting panicked. Oh, now it's 12 o'clock or midnight. I have to go to sleep. No, he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. His clock is not like your clock. He says, according to your time, you might be thinking, oh, God, the world didn't end yet. And 2,000 years. Said, don't worry. To you, it's a 2,000 years. For me, it's like a 2 days. So don't compare with my timing to your timing. Your job is to get ready and be ready. You cannot compare. Now the people start thinking, oh, that's the calendar work. One day is 1,000. And now they are calculating what the word of God is saying. If that's the way it is, and the world will be end with the 7 days, 7 years or 7,000 years and things like that. But God just gave an example. Doesn't mean you hold on to that calendar. It doesn't work that way. So God is saying, why I'm waiting, he gives a reason, verse 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
He says, when I'm waiting, you're thinking, hey, God doesn't know the timing. He might have forgotten. Maybe he doesn't want to do it. Maybe he changed his mind. You're thinking all of these things. The word of God says, you don't know God's thoughts. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What God is thinking, you don't know. So God is thinking, he said, let me tell you what I'm thinking. I am thinking that in this world, there should not be any person go to hell. I want to save the whole world. And there are people and teaching, they are coming and saying, you know, God has already selected some people to get saved. And so if it's God's will to save some selected people, so why to worry? Let God select people. It doesn't work that way. If God says, I want the whole world to get saved, then it is my job to help God, to do his will, to do his work. I should be his hand and feet and eyes and mouth and everything on this earth. Because the Jesus says, you are the body of Christ. The word of God says we are the body of Christ, and God is, Jesus Christ is our head. So he gives us command and we should work. We should do it. So here he's saying, I'm waiting because each and everyone should be saved. So that comes, you and me should be busy to bring the Lord Jesus Christ sooner. He said, hasten my coming. How do you do it? Bring the people to the salvation. Go and preach the word of God. So let's go back to the Amos. He says, what you're doing, you're putting this time away. Oh, we don't want to hear about the destruction. We don't want to worry about all the destruction is coming, the violence is coming, the world is going to be on fire. We don't want to hear that. God is not going to zap me. God is not going to destroy me as long as I'm not doing anything wrong. And these people are thinking, we are not doing anything wrong. We are proud that we are Israel. We are proud that our God is a great God and nobody can defeat us. But he says, you are living in a false hope. Okay, verse 4.
That lie upon beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall.
Now, if you read this word, somebody says, what these people are doing wrong? There is nothing wrong with to have a good bed. There is nothing wrong to have a couch or easy chair. There is nothing wrong to go and get a lamb meat. There is nothing wrong to go and get a calf meat. What these people are doing wrong? Seems like they are not doing anything wrong. God gives all the facility to you. He can give you good bed. He can give you good couches. He can give you good food. But if your motive is to just lie down in your bed and rocking chair day and night and eat the best lamb meat and eat the best cow meat and get fat and nothing to worry about God, then God is mad. God says He provides everything. God doesn't want you to live like a beggar. God doesn't want you to be hungry. God doesn't want you to be lacking anything. What the David says, Lord is my shepherd and what? I shall not want. He said He even prepares the table in front of my enemies and the people get jealous. That's the kind of God we have. But what is these people's problem? They are going and searching the tender lamb meat. Means if the lamb you have to go get it, some people will get the lamb at least 1 year old and make the meat. This going and finding the lamb maybe 2 months or 3 months old are very tender and getting and get the tender meat. And they're looking in the cows. They say they're going in the midst of the stall. Means they're not getting any cow they find and cut it. They go looking for the best one. Who is best? And then they get and the best meat. And this is what they're doing. They're eating the best meat, lying down on the bed. That bed is not ordinary. What that bed is? Ivory bed. Do you know how many elephants you have to kill to make an ivory bed? So they don't care how many elephants are killed. Make me ivory bed. There is no harm eating lamb meat. There is no harm eating beef. There is no harm sleeping on a beautiful bed so you will not get a backache. It's good, everything good. But are you praising God for these things? If you don't thank God, why should God give you another thing? If God gave you a job and say, I was not looking for this lousy job. I wanted the best job. I said, okay, I'll take it away from you. If you have a job, you say, thank you, Lord, you gave me a job. If you are faithful for little thing, He will do great things. But somebody gives you a glass of water, He said, throw it out. I was looking for wine. So what? You are not faithful for little thing, you will not get anything. So these people are having luxurious life and the God is out of their life. Okay, let's go back to the Amos chapter 6, verse 5.
That chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David.
Now, what they're doing, they say they're chanting the music. When they're chanting, it's repeating the same thing again and again and again. But God says if you, even the God's name you're using, you don't use the God's name in vain. I don't know what they were singing. Some of the songs you listen in the young people, they have the record. I cannot hardly understand their English. I don't know what they're singing. I don't know what they're talking about. Maybe they have code words. Or maybe they have some kind of secret language. I don't understand. I said, I may be thinking I don't know the English. And sometimes I said, is that an English song or is that a Spanish? What I'm trying to say, this is what these people are doing. Singing the songs, do not know what they're singing. They are using the language of just making fun and having a good time. There's some kind of rhyming things. Now today is the rhyming song comes. What do you call this? Rap? They wrap around songs and they can use any rapping things to just make the sound something better. But doesn't have any meaning to it. And so they are singing those kind of songs. And not only that, what they're doing, they're thinking, you know what? The David was our forefathers. And he invented music, and he invented some instrument. So let's make a modern instrument, a better than David. And let's make it and sing, and let's make a beautiful song. Then God will be pleased. Some of the churches, I told you last week, some of the churches, they are inviting these young people with that kind of music and do not understand anything. And the elderly people closing their ears and getting deaf. And some of the church members are leaving, and they say, oh, these young people will be the future church. But these young people, they might be 15, 16, and they are thinking very good music. And when they get 18 and 19, leave the church, then go into the world. They lost the older member, and they lost the new member, and the church is empty. The point I'm making, these people are thinking they are doing something to the Lord, taking the example of King David. Let's go to the First Chronicles chapter 23, verse 5.
Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith.
See, David is saying, I made so many instruments. And now he's saying thousands of people he trained to praise God, glorify God. So he is using his musical talent to praise God. What these people are doing, oh, we are David's children. He invented music. We invented music. He played the violin. We are playing the violin. He played the harp. We are playing the harp. So God should be pleased. Doesn't matter what you're using. Maybe your father was a minister and you use his guitar. That doesn't mean you are blessed. He might be using for God. You're using for Satan. God is not going to bless because you're using 2,000 years old guitar or something. So here he's saying, you are using the instrument, singing to song, but you are singing something which doesn't make any sense. Verse 5. Oh, you read it first. Read it one more time. Amos 6, 5.
That chant to the sound of the viol and invent themselves instruments of music like David. That drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph.
Now here he's saying they are making this music and singing the songs and having joyful noise, eating the meat, eating the calf meat, and they're drinking the wine. And so somebody says, so what's the problem? Some people drink wine and these people are drinking wine. And then they're saying, how they're drinking? They are drinking the wine bowl full. Now, it's not a small bowl. It might be a big bowl. Why are they drinking in a bowl? In those days, the bottle were not invented. Drinking wine 2 ounces, drinking the whole bottle or 2 bottles full. And they are drinking those kind of wines and eating this meal and having a bad day for themselves. So somebody says, it's drinking wine is fine because doctor says you should be drinking a little bit of wine for your health. I tell you, the doctor is telling you to drink the wine, but they don't know the wine is addictive. When you drink some little bit, you cannot satisfy with a little bit. You have to drink more. And this is not the wine they are drinking. They are drinking the intoxicated wine. Let's go to the Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11 and 12.
Woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them.
See, woe to those people. Who are those people? Drinking wine, starting from the morning until the midnight. Some of the bars in the olden days, they used to have an evening bar. So the people come, they are tired or weary, they go and take the drink and go to bed. Now the bar stores are open from the morning. See, here is saying they go in the morning and drink until the night. And what kind of drink they are doing? Intoxicated drink. Go to the, you are in Isaiah 56. You read it only 11. Read the 12.
And the harp, and the viol, the tabret, and pipe, and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands.
See what he's trying to say? They are drinking, they are eating, they are having party, but God is not in there. Enjoy the world, enjoy everything, because people say, you know what? The time is very short, the life is very short. So enjoy. Enjoy means who has the time to go to church? Let's enjoy because tomorrow we're going to die. So let's die in the bar instead of going to church. That's what they're thinking. Okay, go to the Isaiah 56, verse 12.
Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundance.
Let's go to the bar. Drink. I said, this is not enough. We'll come tomorrow, and we'll come tomorrow, and we'll come tomorrow. So there is no end. But some people are having feast, and their family dying without a food. They get a paycheck, and first thing they go to the bar. And when they come home, the packet is gone. Somebody took the money and kicked them out, and the next day said, what happened? Now, I don't know where my wallet is. And the one man had a problem like that. And so he just asked me, Pastor Peter, please pray for me that I should get a job. I said, if God gives you a job, will you go to church regularly? Yes, I will. And when you get a paycheck, will you give the tithes to the Lord? Yes, I will. He worked 15 days. I went and recommended that man. I went to the company and said, this is a good man. Hired him. So they had a respect. They hired this man. Within a 15 days, they gave him a raise. He comes 2 weeks in the church. He said, Pastor Peter, they gave me a raise. I said, that's good. But my paycheck will come end of the month. So okay. So he went and worked 2 more weeks. When he got a paycheck, he goes to the bar. Didn't come to church. Following week, I said, what happened? You didn't come to church. Oh, because I lost my job. I said, you middle of the week, you said you got a raise. How come you lost the job? Oh, Pastor Peter, you have to come and talk to my boss. I said, did you drink? Yes, I went to the bar. Why don't you tell me that first? I said, sir, if you lost the job because of drinking, I'm not going to come and recommend that man. So the point I'm making, the people make a promises and they say, I'll give it to the Lord, I'll do this, I'll do that. When they get the money, that green stuff, who cares about God? I got this much money and I got a good job. Everybody likes me and nobody can fire me. So we have to thank God. Every little thing what God does, we should be grateful. Okay, let's go back to the Amos chapter 6, verse 6. Now we are in 6 still.
That drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph.
Now, here is saying, they are not only eating and drinking, they are using the best perfume. Somebody say, what's wrong with that? If you have $100 a pay, and you're going to buy $1,000 perfume, that's something wrong. And even though you have a good job paying and you are buying the best perfumes, you are using God's money in vain. Isaiah 55, it says, why do you pay the money which is not food? It says, eat the good food and praise God. So here you're going and buying the cheap, best perfume and anoint with that perfume and living a good life. You smell good, you eat good, and you're thinking, I'm the greatest man in this world. And he says, but you're doing some other things wrong. You do not think how you treated the Joseph. They are the Jacob's children. Joseph's father sent the Joseph to his brethren to give them food. So what happened? They took a food and he said, well, that dreamer is coming. We're going to take care of him. Took his clothes, tear him apart, put him in the pit and start eating and enjoying the food. Just like these people doing it. Enjoying the food, he said, did you think about Joseph? How you destroy him? How you grieved him? No. Now some people saying, maybe the thousands of years gone. Why is reminding to them? Do you know? Some people treated some people very badly. I don't want to say black or white or whatever. And 100 years or 50 years pass, and then somebody says, we have to apologize. I'm sorry for how you treated you. The other day, one man was saying they did not give the Medal of Honor to one man. And so many years passed, and then they called him and said, we are sorry, we're supposed to give you the Medal of Honor, we give it to you. And some country said, we did something wrong to you people, my forefathers 2,000 years ago, but we are going to apologize for them. Just like Israeli people were killed in Holocaust. So the people saying, we want to apologize. We want to say sorry that our forefathers did that. So God is saying, Joseph, you treated bad. And Joseph did not treat you bad. He always helped you. And but you were not grateful to saying to anybody, especially God. God, be thankful to Joseph because he forgave us. Do you know in Romans chapter 12 what the word of God is saying? He says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him water. But he says, you don't take revenge. Revenge is mine. Joseph didn't take the revenge, right? He gave it to the Lord. Now, hundreds of years pass. God says, I didn't forget. Joseph gave me to take revenge. So, just go to the Genesis chapter 37. I just wanted to point out what the Israeli people did. Means Joseph's brothers did when he gave them the food. 23-25. Genesis 37.
And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt.
Can you imagine? Somebody brings you food and water when you are in the jungle. And he got lost, and Joseph asked somebody, did you see my brother anywhere? He would have gone home. He would have said, you know, I didn't, Daddy, you told me to go there. You know, my brothers, they hate me. They might kill me. But he didn't say anything. Father said, go. He said, okay, I'm going. And when he didn't find them, he should have gone back. But he went, gave the food, gave the drink. And they didn't ask him, Joseph, you are also traveling. This is a lunchtime or dinner time. Could you come and eat with us? They threw him in the pit. And they said there was no water. If there was a water, at least he will not get hurt. You know, if you know how to swim, you would not get hurt. But when you throw somebody in the pit, it can be sharp object or anything. You can get hurt. There might be snake. There might be some vicious things might be sitting there. Some movie, you might have seen the Joseph movie. Joseph is crying his head out and his heart breaking. My brother, please help me, help me, help me. They didn't help. So he's saying, did you see the affliction of Joseph? Did you forget? The years have passed, but you and your forefather, you never repented. Okay, verse 7. Amos chapter 6, verse 7.
Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretched themselves shall be removed.
Now said, therefore, you are going to go to captive. Why? What is their crime? From verse 1 to verse 6, all the crimes are listed. I cannot go back and explain to you. The clock is running. But all the crimes are given. Affliction of Joseph. I am tired of your bad things. I decided now to take revenge. Now, how he is going to take revenge? He said, okay, you were proud about your states and you were proud about your heritage and everything. I am going to raise some nations to destroy you, to capture you. And when you going in the enemy's hand, enemy is not going to treat you well. God says, okay, you destroy the other people. I'm going to let you go to the enemy's territory. Let those people teach you the lesson. Then you learn how much luxury I have given to you, and you did not think about it. Here the word of God is saying, you live in luxury, and you don't want to listen to me. I am going to give you in enemy's hand. Okay, let's go to the Amos chapter 6, verse 8.
The Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein.
God is saying, he's fed up with even the Jacob. When you say Jacob, Jacob's name changed to Israel. So he said, now Israel means Jacob is so proud. Actually, Jacob is dead and gone. He said, you are the children of Jacob and called Israel. And so you are so proud, but your pride is coming down. And how he's going to do it, he's saying it in following verses. Let's read the verse 9 and 10.
And it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, no. Then shall he say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord.
Did you understand this? It's a little bit difficult. You might say yes, but it's difficult. I'll tell you how it is. Now here is saying, if there is a 10 man in the house, all will be destroyed. They didn't destroy yet. He's talking about future. The 10 will be destroyed. How many will be in the house? Zero. Right? Now the 10 will be destroyed. That means nobody will be left in the house. Now read the verse 10. Yeah, one more time.
And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones out of the house.
Okay. Now who is the man's uncle? They're already dead. Now the dead people, there is a one person who was relative to somebody. He's called uncle. The uncle says, let me go and see what happened to my family. If you read in different language, different translation, some here it says uncle. Other translation will say relatives or the loved ones or something like that. Now this man goes to check out what's happening and see what happened. So he goes there, and what's happening? Read one more time that 10th verse.
And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, no.
Now, who is saying to whom? Who is saying to somebody, is there anybody in that house? Now, I was reading, and the other man says, remaining person who were burned, that person, other person is asking. No, the burned 10 man is gone. There is not a 10th person is answering. Maybe the uncle is sitting there and other person comes. The other person comes, so who is that person? He is coming to take the body and a bone to burn. That's the person is coming. So that person is asking the person inside, he said, hey, is there anybody left? So what the person inside said? No. Everybody's dead. Then this person said, shh, hold thy tongue. What does it mean? Is he saying, don't tell everybody's dead? Or is he saying, everybody's dead is good? Why he's saying, hold your tongue? So it was a little bit difficult to understand. And then the who is saying to whom? Then the person who comes and he says, one translation says, don't say a word or don't say about God. And this is said, we should not be saying anything, taking the name of the Lord in our mouth. What is the situation here? Up to now, the house is burned down, or it doesn't say burned down. The people are dead in the house. Somebody comes to take the dead body and to burn. The Israeli people actually do not burn the dead bodies. But I think this is a holocaust. So they don't have time to bury. So let's say, let's take this body. And they come and take the body aboard and to bury. And then other person say, is there anything remaining there? No. So he said, hold your tongue. Now what happens here in the Jewish law, when you touch the dead body, you are unclean. So when unclean person cannot go to the temple and praise God. If he does, he will be punished. He has to be sanctified. That's one reason he said, don't say anything. Another reason, if your relatives are dead and you're not pleased with God, so you're going to curse God or you're going to say something bad about God. Shh, he said, don't say a word. Don't say about anything to God or say bad, good or bad, because we are going to be punished. These 10 people died, we can die also. So only one thing we can do, shut our mouth. Don't say good or bad to God because God did it. Now somebody dies in some family and they get bitter. And they said, where was God and why he did and this and that. There was a one minister, his sister died and he said, I'm not going to serve the Lord. Why my sister died and I prayed and prayed and nothing happened? You're not in charge of your sister's life. You don't know what she was doing. What was relationship with God? You don't know anything. If somebody tells me, please pray for this person, don't go blindly and lay hand and pray and nothing happens. I said, I want to talk to that person. And I talked to that person. Would you like to give your heart to Jesus Christ? If Jesus heals you, what are you going to do? And if that person said, well, I don't want any part of Jesus, and I want to dance around, or if I get healed, I'm going to go and bar and enjoy my rest of life. Do you think I'm going to pray for that person? No, I'm not going to pray. I want that person to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then you pray. So, the same way, God says, when he killed those people, you don't go and say bad about God. Who is he? What he is doing? You will be zapped. So he said, it's better to hold your tongue and don't do anything. Clean yourself and sanctify yourself before you praise God. You cannot praise God with a dead body in the olden days. But by the grace of God, now we take the dead body, we sing and praise God in funeral and things like that. In the olden days, they didn't do that. Because of Jesus Christ, we are all sanctified and cleansed, and there is no clean, there is no unclean. Only unclean thing is sin. So here, he says, hold your tongue, don't say anything. So when you read these two verses, ordinarily you don't understand. Okay, let's go back to the Amos chapter 6, verse 11.
For behold, the Lord commandeth, and he will smite the great house with breaches and the little house with clefts.
Now he's saying what I'm going to do. He's saying great houses. Do you remember? Earlier chapter we said how they made the houses. They made the houses carving stone and put it inside another stone and made it very strong houses. Put ivory houses. And they had the summer house and a winter house. And all this luxury they were living. He said, wait, what I'm going to do, destroy that big solid house. When there is a solid house built with a beautiful stone and metal, and you bring the bulldozer, you hit it. And so he said, I'm going to break those big houses. But they cannot be powder, but it will be broken pieces. But if I see the small house, that will be meshed like a powder. And so he said, I'm going to break the bigger house, and I'm not going to worry about a little house. If the sinner is sinner, you live in a palace or live in a hut. Doesn't matter where you live, God is going to see who are you. God is going after sinners. He said, oh, let God go and destroy the big, big mansion. God is not going to come to the poor people. We are poor, we are living in hut. Doesn't count. You live in a hut or you live in mansion. Are you serving the Lord? Are you praying? Are you concerned about spiritual life? If not, the mansion or the hut going to be destroyed. Verse 12.
Shall horses run upon the rock? Will one plow there with oxen? For ye have turned judgment into gall and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock.
He's asking question. Did you see horses running on the rocky ground? You didn't see it, but if you had to go to some villages or some mountains, sometimes there are rocks like a 10 to 20 blocks, all the rocks. Do you take the horse ride in the rocky ground? If you want to enjoy the horse ride, don't take them to the rocky places. They are going to fall, you're going to fall, you're going to die. So take the horses in the better ground to practice or have enjoyment. And so he's asking another question. Do you plow in the rocky ground with your oxen? No. If you plow, nothing is going to go deep down because there is a rock. Even though you use horses or you use bulls, nothing is going to happen and somebody is going to get hurt. So people do not do these stupid things. But you are doing it. He says, to give the example, horses running on the rocks, or the bulls plowing in the rocky places. If both things doesn't happen, if somebody does, they have to be fool, they have to be ignorant, they have to be stupid. That's what he's trying to say. And he said, but you are doing the same thing. Read the verse 13.
Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, have we not taken to us horns by our own strength?
Now, they're saying, what you're doing, you are proud for nothing. Why? Because you got one city with your horns, with your power, and says, wait, we didn't ask God. David used to ask God every time, shall I go and fight with my enemy? And then God says, go, then he will go. These people got some city conquered, and they said, oh, we got it with a bull's horn. Means we got it with our own power. We didn't ask God to do it for us. And so he said, we did it by our own strength. That means we don't need God. You remember what happened to Joshua? They went and destroyed the Jericho. And now they want to get the small place, Ai, very small country, city. So they say, we don't need this many armies. We can go a little bit, handful of people and destroy this. If we can destroy the big city. And they went there and they were defeated and came back running and crying. And then Joseph said, oh Lord, what happened? He said, don't cry in front of me. There is a sin in the camp. And so the point I'm making, these people are committing sin. They got the land and thinking because of their power. He says, hold on. You know what I'm going to do? Read the verse 14.
But behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of the wilderness.
You remember in the beginning we learned, he said, go and visit those places, take a round, and see what the territory and what the boundaries you got and what is what. He said, that's what is going to happen. All your boundary, wherever it is, everything is going to go to the enemy's hand, and all the cities and whatever is in the cities will be gone. So this is a warning. So we see now warning is coming almost now. This is the sixth chapter. Time after time after time. This didn't happen at that particular time. He was just saying 10 people will die in the house. 1,000 people go for the war and only 100 people will be remaining. 100 people will go and 10 will be remaining. All this warning. And so they have to listen to this warning. These things already happened, but this is new for us. God is trying to tell us how long, how many warning you need. We do not want to be captured by devil, right? Enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But what Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So what we want? Destruction or abundant life? And so we need abundant life. Shall we rise?
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are giving us lessons. What happened to Israeli people? We are your people. We are called by your name. And we are going to love you and follow you. The time is running. The people are dying without God and without Christ. We want to bring those people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Give us grace to reach out to those people who do not know Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.